Start the live YouTube stream, so pause for just a moment till it's ready. We get the notification just a few seconds early. All right, it's live. Take it away.
Okay, thank you. Well, welcome everybody, and thank you for joining us this evening. It's 5:31, and I'd like to call the February 10th, 2022 meeting of the Salem Parks and Recreation Advisory Board to order. My name is Mickey Varney, and I'm the chair. So let's start off with roll call. Dylan McDowell?
Here.
Thank you. Alan Alexander?
I'm here.
Okay, thanks, Ellen. Woody Dukes?
Here.
Okay. Dave Friedenmacher?
Here.
Rick Hartwig?
Here.
Al Holland?
I'm here.
Thank you. And Joan Lloyd?
Here.
Thank you all. Great. Sounds like everybody's audio is working, so that's a good thing, too. Okay, we have quite a bit on our agenda this evening. So first of all, I'd like to get started with reviewing our minutes from the January 13th meeting. So I hope you've had a chance to go through them. And thank you very much for the meeting minutes, because it certainly helps just to have all the details. So does anybody have any corrections or additions for the minutes?
I move that we adopt the minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the minutes as presented. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so the minutes stand approved. Thank you very much. Okay, the next item on our agenda is public comment. And I wanted to, we don't have any written comment, but we do have some some members of the public.
Yeah? Chair Varney, I'm looking at an issue regarding public testimony. Can we hold off? Can I ask the council, the board, to hold off on the public testimony portion for a moment, and maybe we can move that to the next agenda item, so I don't delay. I've got something going. I'm looking at an issue regarding public testimony at board. So if I can have just a moment so I can give the board some advice on that, I need just a few minutes, okay?
Okay, okay. I certainly think that's okay. Yeah, so let's just move on to the next agenda item, and then we can come back to the public comment if that's okay with everyone. So the next item are our board items and presentations. And the first one is a presentation on the Salem Community Bond by Courtney Knox Bush. Hello, Courtney. Courtney is our strategic initiatives manager for the city of Salem. And so Courtney, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I see most of you I know, and some of you have heard me do this before, and so apologies. Just quickly, I'll introduce myself. My name's Courtney. I've been with the city for 17 years, which is really hard to imagine. And I have come from the economic development world, in and around urban renewal in West and North. And then I'm in the city manager's office now, and I get to do things like communications and strategic planning and our legislative affairs. So lots of fun and constantly busy, especially right now. And so what I have for you today is I want to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about this community improvement bond idea there's some things that we know, but I'll let you know. It's a little dissatisfying in the details because we're in the space now where we're asking for input about the measure itself, the idea, and then specific ideas for projects that you'd like to see included. And so I think Lynn and Patty and Alan have heard me do this at least once. And so really I'm looking to you for your input. And I have just three slides, one's just a cover, that I use to try to kick off our conversation. Because again, this is really about hearing from you. So I'm going to do the screen share thing, and that puts me at a little bit of a disadvantage because I don't get to see as many of your faces. And so what I'm talking about tonight, it's again this community improvement bond idea. You'll see we're interested in trying to take care of the fire engines and equipment. We want to do things with parks and streets and sidewalks. Those are the big kind of marquee bits. This is unusual for those of you that have been around for a while. We're talking about one bond for multiple kinds of projects. So I'm gonna turn to the next slide, brace yourselves. Here you go. This is the skinny. It's called, it's a general obligation bond, which means that we do capital kinds of projects. So those things like buildings and construction, making things new or replacing a lot to get into that rehabilitation or capital side of things. We're proposing to do 300 million of improvements for the next 10 years. And why 300 million? Why 10 years? Because we can keep the tax levy rate constant for the next 10 years and just slowly add improvements in our community. So I'm gonna switch to the next slide, brace yourselves. This is what we know today. The city council has asked us to get input and feedback on this idea. You can see how generally we think the 300 million could be split. Some of these categories are flexible and can grow or shrink to the need that we hear about. And some of them are all in or we can't make the improvements. So for example, right now we're thinking about half of this could be streets and sidewalks, but we know very well that we have greater than $300 million of need. And so we can shape that to fit what people really want to see happen in the community. So we're calling it Streets and Sidewalks. This is sort of a redo of the 2008 Streets and Bridges bond. It's time again to make some investments in the roads infrastructure, the sidewalks, the bike lanes, the pathways, those kinds of investments. And we're getting a lot of great feedback about places where those improvements could really add value at the community level, at the neighborhood level. The fire engines and equipment I mentioned earlier, that's a 2006 bond. Again, we were really grateful to get that opportunity to buy all new fire equipment. Those fire trucks are about 350 to 400,000 miles right now. For those of you with experience with older vehicles like myself, 260,000 miles on my truck, it does start to create some anxiety, especially when you're in a position of responding to people in their greatest need. So that's a $26 million piece of the pie. And that one is the first priority, should we be so lucky to have this be approved in November of 22. And so that would come first, and then we would move on to the next improvements. That's an all-in. We can't make that smaller. It is just what it costs. The park upgrade section. Now that is, again, one that can grow. If there's a lot of great input that we get from the community, it would require streets and sidewalks to get a little smaller. But that's one where we can flex that to the need that we hear about in the community. The Civic Center earthquake safety, that's an all-in kind of thing. I think it's about $45 million. And that one is to take that 1972 era facility and bring it to current earthquake standards. This is the last one of that era that we still need to kind of do. We were fortunate to get to the library recently, and we did the fire stations as part of the 2006 measure. You'll see a little bit for future fire stations, and this reflects an expectation that in the next 10 years, we really need to put fire stations in new places to better serve our community. And so you'll see, our fire chief talk about the one that's currently on Chemeketa's campus is outside of the city. We'd like to move that to Portland Road, northeast area. He won't be specific because that drives up costs, but we know it's in northeast to better serve that part of our community. And then we're thinking about one in southeast to accommodate the growth there. The next piece is called technology and cybersecurity. And this reflects really a significant investment in keeping up with technology and better protecting the our customers' information, because we're doing so much more digitally these days to better serve the community when they are ready to have us serve them. And so that section is an all-in again. And then we have this other flexible category called sites for affordable housing and shelter. And I just want to make sure we're managing expectations. This is about buying property and building things. It's not about continuing to operate a micro shelter community village, but it could be about building one. I hope that makes sense for size and scope and shape. So that's generally the idea. And this is where I like to pause and take feedback. So if you guys are good, I'm going to stop sharing screen so I can see everybody again. And I'll just say our general question first is, how does that suit you? How does that strike you? Would you make some of these pieces bigger or smaller? And then the next question is specific project ideas. And you don't have to, there's a little bit of pressure I think people feel when I'm asked that question. You don't have to come up with all of the things right now, right today. We do have a thing online where you can just type in ideas. And we do have a steering committee of the city council that is meeting again on the 18th, and they would welcome your input as well. So I'll take any feedback that you want, anything, any topic. Hi, Patty. I'm sorry, Patty, you're on mute.
Courtney?
Yes.
thank you so much for the presentation. I'm sure board members have some questions, and then we'll also discuss some of the things that you mentioned with some suggestions. Before we get started, I was just curious, though, in regards what can SPRAB do to support you and provide input into the process? Do you need suggestions in the form of a letter, or what works best for you?
A letter would be welcome. I do want to first also say that the work in the master planning for individual parks, I think, is a wealth of information that's already come from the community and been prioritized for improvement. And so that may be a source. If we don't get a lot of specific ideas from community members, we may very well draw from those master plans to pull projects in. So if you have specific ideas, that would be welcome. And you can send them in individually or collectively with letterhead and all of that. It's however you wish to provide input.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, we'll continue the discussion. First of all, I wanted to get to members' questions about your presentation or whatever. Dylan, right. Go ahead.
Thank you, Courtney, and thank you, Mickey. I had one question and then kind of suggestion. So the first question is, when you say streets and sidewalks, that can be very broad. And one of the things we've been talking about a lot, including last time, was trail and like Pringle Creek connection and sidewalks there. And so I'm really interested in, do you currently have a sense of, you know, what is going to be car streets and when you have that car related infrastructure versus bike and pedestrian infrastructure in that half of the pie?
I'll say right now, there's not any more specificity, but if you want to request some, that would be an open invitation. I guess I'm making one. One of the things that we have heard is a lot of interest in sidewalk improvements. Mm-hmm. And it may be possible that a section of the bond could be dedicated to enhance kind of the sidewalk program that we're currently using. And I should also just say, as we're talking, that I want to assure everybody that if the bond passes, we would be using some kind of a steering committee to help guide future investments. So if it's preferred to have a section carved out for sidewalk enhancements or improvements, to my view, it feels like we've crowdsourced so many great ideas already about sidewalk improvements that it may just be some group kind of evaluating those like we do with safe routes to school and just pushing some of the bond funds when they're available to that. So we would have some accountability ongoing for how mm-hmm. the funds are used according to the ballot measure and that contract with the voters.
That makes sense. And I'll just say from our last meeting, we talked about this Pringle Creek connection trail down by Riverfront and connecting to Pringle Creek area. And we found out that that is not moving forward as a SCATS proposal, but there was a possibility of a bond measure. And I can bring this up again later for everyone, but I really do think we as SPRAB should, that's, it's a big ticket item that costs a lot of money. And this seems like a really good opportunity that can open up connections from Riverfront to South Salem across the city. So I would encourage us all to think about that one and hope that that could be on your list.
It is already, has come in already. I think I might have 300 or 400 ideas already just in these kinds of conversations and coming in as people are considering ideas. So we're getting a lot of feedback. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Alan, go ahead. Holland.
Thank you. First of all, thank you, Courtney. This is a good presentation. I appreciate the information. I got a couple questions. In particular, at the State of the City address, the mayor emphasized number one concern being homeless issues. And that's pervasive in almost every conversation affecting the town and many towns these days. And yet I notice proportionally that seems to occupy a relatively small slice of our pie. And I'm wondering if that is the appropriate distribution. I didn't see numbers assigned to that. I heard some of them as you were going down. So I don't know what the figures are comparatively, but I just wanted to express that seems to be an important priority, but I don't understand if it's being accurately reflected in the distribution of effort in this bond.
Secondly, that's a great point.
Okay, I've got another question and I'll give them both and then you can answer them as you wish.
Okay.
The other is that consistently over the last years that I've been in Salem, 30 some, it seems like every year we have people dying in the river from drowning. Oftentimes it's young kids. And it's an embarrassment to me that we have a sad lack of safe swimming opportunities in our community. Our public pools have been lost to a virtually complete extent. It's very difficult unless a person has a private pool someplace. I'm wondering if we would have some way of developing the area in the river between the railroad bridge and Marion Street Bridge in such a way that it could become a safer and accessible swimming opportunity. Without having to build a whole new pool, at least temporarily, is there some way that that could be managed or constructed and riprapped or otherwise created so that there would be a safer way? People are gonna be going down there. People are gonna be in the water, but is there something we can do to make it safer so that we'd lose fewer people? I think that's the two I'm most concerned about.
Thank you. So I would just, on the homelessness challenge, I would let you know that our chief issue in planning for facilities is finding the right place. So it's been hard for us to spend capital dollars on this issue. And it's really challenging for us to maintain operating dollars for the facilities that we do have. So it is true that it is by far the biggest issue. Every year when we do our customer satisfaction survey in the community, it is homelessness is the biggest issue of concern. I think we might be over 50% now, but don't quote me because I can't recall last year's numbers right now. But what I would say is the new micro shelter community villages and the Safe Park work and all of those programs are funded with one-time dollars. The remainder of our ARPA allocation, the American Rescue Plan Act, and a $10.5 million gift we were given by the legislature in this last session. And when those funds run out, we're going to be in a bit of a pinch. So so the Sites for Affordable Housing and Shelter right now is about $15 million. That's right now what you see in the pie. But we are getting feedback that people would like us to invest more. One of the key criteria that City Council and the steering committee are considering is the impact on operations of improvements. So something like play equipment replacement is going to score better than developing a brand new park out of an undeveloped area. And that would be because replacing the park equipment doesn't add to our operating side. It may be that a new park improvement is the best thing, and there's so much energy around it that we do it anyway, but we are incredible. I am incredibly anxious about how we are going to make ends meet in the next couple of years as some of those one-time dollars fall off for the homelessness activity, but it's going to have a larger impact, I think, on our fiscal situation overall. So, so the homelessness issue, certainly we could build more, but then we would have to operate more facilities. And the idea of riprapping or creating a safer space, that's, you know, probably something we could try to do. I imagine there would be a little bit of involvement with the DEQ about what we would be doing in the waterway, and probably I think Division of State Lands might view it as a state waterway, but there's certainly a proposal that could be developed. So we could look into that.
I hope so.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for all that great information. Great ideas. Alan Alexander.
Thank you, and good evening, Courtney.
Good evening.
I got two questions that should have short answers. The first one, would the city sell all $300 million at one time in bonds, or would they phase it out as the older bonds are being retired?
It's definitely a delicate dance. And I can show, if you want, I can show you the history and when they're coming. I have a slide for that, but I don't want to.
No, they wouldn't all be dropped at one time.
There's no way to maintain the constant rate if we did that. So it wouldn't be, it would be fire engines and equipment first.
Yes.
And then see how much more we could invest without creating an increase in the tax rate.
Yes.
So like for streets and bridges, the first time we did this in 2008, for example, we issued that in three separate bond. That somebody in finance would be more specific for you, but we issued it three separate times because we are very scrappy. We do just-in-time financing. So some of those projects, like the Glen Creek intersection in West Salem, is so complicated that they had a lot of legwork to do and design work before they could build it. And so that was scheduled into the end, into the third time we went out with for a bond.
Well, I appreciate it. When the school, the very large school bond, it was all placed at one time. It of course, that's in a shockwave through property taxes. And so what you're doing is, I think, the wisest move and probably the most practical way to do it. The other thing is, will the projects be identified before the November ballot?
Yes, that's an excellent question. And so the intent is to identify as much as we can. I'll tell you that the engineers are a little nervous right now as what they're seeing happening in the market. And remember that when we put something in the ballot, it is essentially a contract with voters.
Yes.
And so there's, they are, they're very anxious planning for a 10-year horizon. And so what we may do is have some really solid projects that we know we're going to be able to get to. And then we may have some additional projects or tier two kinds of things, investments that we could make depending on how inflation and all the other supply chain issues kind of iron out over the next 10 years. So that might be our approach. And then you also heard me reference earlier the idea that we could have a segment dedicated for sidewalks. And so as we would do those projects, we would be inviting input and having that accountability through the council. So it could be all different kinds of things.
Well,
certainly we will be identifying the big projects, though.
And I think I can speak for some as well as taxpayers as well as a board member. You like to know what you're buying when you buy it, and there's a lot more confidence. And if we're going to do these projects first, and then understand that, and just like in the last bond where the bid, which probably won't be at this time, where the bids came in much better. And the savings allowed additional projects to be funded. But it makes me nervous when all of a sudden they cut projects that have been approved because somebody, didn't do the estimates right or something like that. So anyway, I feel more confident that we're going to know what projects are going to be funded when we vote.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Those are all great, great questions, Alan, really, truly. Al Holland, do you still have your hand up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't take all right. that down.
I just wanted to check. Oh, this has just been great for so much good information. Just thinking about the whole bigger picture and what to anticipate and everything. It's really, really pretty good. Well, this is our opportunity to provide input into this whole decision-making process and show support for certain priorities that are related to parks and other interests that we have. So I like the Pringle, the Pringle Trail idea personally. Does anybody else on the board have other suggestions you'd like us to consider? Looking for hands. Rick Hartwig, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of the dog park at Minnow Brown. And I think maybe you saw the article in the paper about the interest, intense interest in paving that parking lot. And I know that is the cost factor there is pretty high, but that parking lot is, I'm sure, used more than any other parking lot in Minnow Brown, 365 days a year. From early in the morning until sunset every day. So I would hope that there would be some consideration for paving that parking lot. They come in, they grade it, and it looks better for a while, but that doesn't last very long. And then there is some asphalt trails, but none of them in the dog park itself. It gets boggy and muddy and even my dog complains. I would hope that would be considered as part of the parks money.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for that suggestion. Alan Alexander, do you have your hand up?
Yeah. Yes, okay. I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
Courtney mentioned some of our master planning. I would be hesitant to jump on a new project, even as exciting as Pringle might be, until we take a deeper look at our existing master plans, because that's basically what has been recommended over a period of time. And there's a lot of good projects out there. There may be room for them all. I don't think so. But I would want us to look at some completed master plans and look at those costs and look at the impact around the city before we throw all of our eggs in the basket at Pringle. That may sound selfish, but you know, that's the reason we do master plans. That's when we do strategic planning with our parks.
Thank you, Alan.
No, that's a really good point. Excellent. Plus, just the, as Courtney had said, the operations cost when you're adding on new things, and that definitely makes a lot of sense. Dylan, go ahead.
Yeah, Alan, I think that's a really good point. And for me, one thing I would really encourage is I think we have a lot of really wonderful parks and we have a lot of really great opportunities here with the master plan. I think when we're thinking about the roads, streets, and sidewalks aspect, really thinking about the connectivity to parks. And I think so Pringle Creek is an example, but we also heard about last time of thinking about Orchard Heights and just that, what is it, half a quarter mile of sidewalk to get the new apartment buildings to Orchard Heights. I think there's a lot of spaces here where we can think about how do people get to the parks that we have. You know, the Gear Park Master Plan, thinking about the parking issue, that was a big debate and trying to figure out could people actually get there by other means. And so I think as a holistic guiding principle, it'd be really good for us to think about how do we look at the master plans from a park improvement bucket, and then from a street sidewalks, how can we think about things like bike and pedestrian infrastructure to get people around town, but also getting them to our roughly 90 park properties throughout the city. So I know it's something Councillor Hoy has talked about access to parks, etc. I think this is something that we could really invest in heavily in Salem.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Dylan. That's I know that's come up at our neighborhood association with access to certain parks, not just Orchard Heights, but other ones as well. Dave Breidenbacher?
Hi. I see a large need for sports fields and sport courts and four season fields that could be used in the winter time. We get so much demand for school district sites, but the school's in session, and a lot of those fields that we have aren't available most of the time to the public. But there's a huge demand. A lot of times we'll get two or three times the request that we have availability. So I think there's a huge need for development of more, like I said, sports fields, sports courts, and the turf type fields, the artificial turf that's available for the public.
Can I just ask a quick question? When you said four season fields, my mind went to lighting because I just had a suggestion come in today about lighting, but you're talking about the artificial turf being more four season. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Something that could be played on in the winter.
Perfect.
And a lot of sports are, their season goes through the winter.
Also, I just share that we are in conversation with the school district about the Safe Routes to School projects. I understand that there's a call for funding right now, and the list of projects exceeds the available funding. And so we're talking about moving some of those Safe Route to School projects into the bond, as well as Safe Routes to Parks is another one that has been coming up. So we're talking about moving that also into more of the bond. And then I also, just as long as we're talking about collaboration and collegiality, we're also working with our friends at Transit to pull some of the ADA concerns they have. They think that some of the service they're providing in the pickup van is associated with a sidewalk problem. So we're trying to build those improvements in too for transit service.
Okay, thank you. Alan, did you have another question?
I didn't. I just forgot to take my hand down. Thank you though.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. I love everyone's input. Al Holland.
Another question came to mind, and that is, several years ago, we had this wonderful opportunity to receive some advice and analysis of especially bicycle routes around town from some college students that studied our town and offered up some proposals for revisions. I know that some of those suggestions and proposals have been implemented, in particular, some bike paths that and striping that was done to create some through routes for bikes. My question is, what remains of those recommendations that are still possible to improve connectivity for bicycles, particularly with our parks, but connectivity in a general sense? I know I'm riding a bike a lot these days, and I know that from the river towards the east, getting across the footbridge, the railroad bridge from West Salem, and then trying to get to Lancaster is kind of a maze. Person has to negotiate to get over to Center Street from the bridge, and then even for a while down there is difficult. So I'm curious to know what other proposals are afoot and if they're going to be moving ahead.
You know, it's interesting that you would ask, because I just saw some notes about that coming through. I know that there are some family-friendly bikeways that are still being planned, and I thought that I saw the Maple Winter had just been, the funding had just been received, but I will go and figure that out and speak more intelligently or send a note to you guys about the progress on those. It's also true that I think you're referring to the 2009-10 school year where we had the University of Oregon Sustainable Cities yes. Initiative teams. And it's also true, I believe, that following that input, we made some modifications to the what we called Bike Walk Salem, the new plan. And so many of those ideas, I imagine, are in that master plan, but I can also just check in and follow up on that.
Thank you.
So Courtney, what would you recommend would be the best way for us to move forward? What sort of a time frame are we looking at? When do you need to hear from us?
Thank you for asking. I was just gonna close with next steps. So the plan right now is that we have an opportunity to visit with the steering committee on the 18th, so next Friday, and we're gonna be sharing out results from a recent poll. By the way, it polls well. The idea polls well. And some interviews that we've done in the community to sort of suss out whether or how we might have some champions to push this forward. And then when the committee gets together again, March 18th, all of a sudden, by magic, we're going to have all of these projects identified and run through the CIP scoring criteria. If you're familiar with our capital improvement plan, we do look at streets and sidewalks projects in that way and score them across a whole bunch of variables. And we look at parks improvement ideas that way too. And so we're going to be using those same kinds of criteria, adding a little bit for things that are of interest to the council right now. And then hopefully come out of that meeting with a recommended package and then take that to council in April, one hopes. And so we can just start talking about what's in the bond, which is really where I think most people have questions. What's in, right? And so we'll be able to articulate more clearly what we're going to do in the community as a result of these funds. So that would be April. We'll start messaging again. And in some areas, you know, if in fact there is a sidewalk bucket or some other portion of those funds carved out for specific kinds of improvements, that we could take input on until we're building, if it's approved in November. So we'll see how it shapes. I'll know more in April, and I will speak more intelligently in April.
Okay, thank you for that timeline. That's helpful. Our next meeting is March 10th. So at this point, I'm trying to determine, what the best thing is for us moving forward. So board members, any suggestions? Go ahead, Dylan.
Well, I do wonder, Mickey, earlier you suggested a letter, and I think that's a good idea. I'm just, I was writing down notes of kind of trying to figure out how we could generally advocate for certain things without trying to create a Christmas tree, which is always good. But it seems like encouraging a review of some of the master plans, and this might be a spot where city staff may have some input who can help us really understand. I think we're not always tracking exactly which master plans are where in the process. I know there's some like Gear that had a lot of publicity in the last year, and so thinking about those might be good. And so if we were to talk about park connectivity and then park master plans are two that I would really think would be good for us to generally push for the committee to be including. And so I'd be open. I don't know, Dave, if you think if we should be putting other amenities in there such as sports fields, but it seems like we want to be somewhat high level to make sure that, as Alan was suggesting, we're really pushing people into the master plans and other processes that have gone through a lot of vetting already.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion. Alan, your hand's up.
I would, at this point, if I'm sure each of us could come up with some very worthwhile and valuable projects. But at this point, I think it would be important for us as a board to give it a general letter of support to the bond process itself. That was going forward with the $300 million. And I think we could do that. And we can iron out some of our ideas and concepts over the next month. But at this point, I think we could all agree that we would like to see the bonds used efficiently and effectively as possible. And we can certainly support the process.
If I could interject, one of the things that I'm trying to do in how we communicate the projects that could be selected for inclusion is I'm trying to make sure that we highlight or feature if it has a safe route to school benefit, a safe route to park benefit, an ADA improvement. I haven't, and I think there's a designation for, is it already in a master plan? And so those things would create more points in a scoring matrix, which is how we do everything, for projects, right? So it's possible that we may already be taking those kinds of values into effect through the scoring. So speaking out on, making sure that those projects are given their due sort of in that scoring process may be the most easy way to do that in this time frame.
So does anyone have a motion they would like to suggest moving forward with this?
I move that SPRAB draft a letter with authors to be determined that will be reviewed and voted upon at the March meeting in favor of the bond process and some of the criteria such as safe routes to parks.
I second it.
Thank you, Dylan. And thank you for the second, Joan. So is there any discussion on the amendment on the motion that's on the floor? I don't currently see any hands. So let's just go ahead with a roll call vote then. Down the list here. Okay, Dylan.
Aye.
Okay. Alan Alexander.
Aye.
Woody Duke.
Aye.
Dave Freidenbacher.
Aye.
Rick Hartwig.
Aye.
Al Holland.
Aye.
Joan Lloyd.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. So the motion passes unanimously. I guess we will, I'm not exactly sure how we will talk about who's going to do it. There's been wonderful input and wonderful suggestions. I can kind of take the lead on it, and then we'll bring a letter back at our March 10th meeting. At least that's my understanding from the motion.
Mickey, I would be happy to help you with that too. If I know in the past, we've sometimes tag teamed letters, so it's not all on one person. And if you'd like assistance with that in the interim, I have some ideas too.
Okay. That would be really, really helpful. And anyone else can would love input.
If you're not doing anything on Friday next week, at 1 o'clock, you're welcome to sit in and hear, listen to the conversation of the steering committee as well. You'll get a preview of criteria and stuff.
What time is the meeting?
It starts at 1, I believe. I'll just check really quickly. It's at 1 and it goes until 2:30 is my expectation. And we do also, it's 1 to 2:30. We are operating it like a city council meeting because there are 5 city councilors on the group. And so there is also an interest in taking public testimony. So just like we do with city council, we would open the roster. Thank you, Dylan. We would open the roster at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so if you want to provide testimony to the steering committee, you're welcome to do that and sign up then.
Do they get the link to the meeting? Is it on the bond webpage?
It is on the bond webpage, but I'll go ahead and pull the steering committee link itself. Just I'll pop that in the chat while we're talking.
Okay, thank you.
And that was next Friday, the 18th.
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here, Courtney, and presenting all the information. That was really, really helpful.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm grateful. And thank you for the service that you provide to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney. Chair Varney, I apologize for any confusion I might have caused earlier. I invite you to feel free to take the public comment whenever you feel is appropriate within the agenda.
Okay, well, thank you so much for letting me know. I hate to kind of split up our board items and presentations. However, I have a feeling our work plan might take a while. So if it's okay with everybody, I'd like to just go ahead and bounce back to the public comment since we've had members of the public here waiting for a while. Okay, I see a thumbs up anyway. Is that okay with folks? Okay, so back to public comment. Nothing like just bouncing around here a little bit. It will work. So this evening, as I said, we don't have any written comment, but we have a couple folks signed up for public comment. And if anybody else would like to sign up for public comment, you can just put it in the chat. Get to my other notes here. So our bylaws actually provide up to 5 minutes per speaker for public comment. And so the first on our list is Lynn Takata. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. So Lynn, please give your first and last name and either your address, your ward, or your neighborhood association for the record. And go ahead, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you very much. I love to attend SPREV meetings. I think I've been to about almost 10. So I am Lynn Takata, and I live in Ward 1, and I'm the chair of Northeast Neighbors. So I got a suggestion that I should come to SPREV and test. testify. Our neighborhood association, since we became aware that the Oregon State Hospital property was, you know, that a park was going to be developed there, that there was an assignment of that, you know, park to a neighborhood association. And so I'm here to advocate for the park, the D Street Community Park, to be within the boundaries of two neighborhood associations. It was in NEN's neighborhood plan first. We care very much about it. And it's also in NESCA's neighbor and I think Lansing's neighborhood association plan as well. So NEN has been incredibly involved in our parks. We've had a neighborhood watch. We're walking around our park at midnight and we're trying to prevent shootings. And we actually did. You know, we had a shooting, someone killed in 2019 in Englewood Park that you may have read about. In 2020, there was a youth shot. And thankfully, due to our great efforts, there is no one shot in the park last year. Although we have a lot of still shootings going on in our neighborhood. We established the Englewood Forest Festival. That's well-loved community festival based on Kasia Quillenen's suggestion to me that parks was having issues with maintenance. We applied for a SPIF grant and are now in our fifth year of working on a pollinator garden that's 5,000 square feet. So that is eventually going to reduce parks maintenance, you know, hugely. I was out there watering in 100 degree heat. So we put in up to 400 hours per year of community service in the park. We cleaned up after the ice storm when the city crews couldn't get in. We've paid for playground equipment. And actually we also raised last year $18,000 for both NEN and I mean for Englewood and McRae. So we're crazy about our parks. We want the opportunity to, and you know, when I'm off of three boards, being the chair of three boards, I'd love to consider joining Sprout, but I don't have time right now. It's my passion. So it's why I bought my house, is because of Englewood Park. It's like a block from my house. So anyway, you know, what we experienced during the Gear Street Master Plan is, although Rob Romanek did a phenomenal job of doing outreach, there were still pockets of our community that never heard about it, never got a chance to give input. We feel if the park was within two boundaries that we would be assured of being notified, you know, that something was going on in the park. We've met with a number of staff from, you know, Rob and Patricia and Lisa Anderson Ogilvy. We understand that there's no city policy that would require notification of nearby neighborhood associations, you know, after the master plan. And although it's practice because of the excellent park planners that the city has, you know, we're going to have a different board. There'll be different city staff. We're looking 10 years into the future. We want the surrounding community to be able to put their toe in the door and at least get the notification something's going on in the park. And you know our neighborhood's dense. I did some math. I had three people check my math, and because of the, and this is what I submitted to Tony, all the math calculations, but parks per capita in NESCA are 8 times the parks per capita in NEN. We're a very dense community. We've lost a significant amount of recreational space, which Ken Simula is here to speak about. He's our longest serving board member. I think he's been involved since the 50s. So he has an amazing memory. He'll speak shortly. So we just are here to hope that, I know it's a different process than the city usually goes through. And here's my answer to the city's concerns. I was asked, well, what if different neighborhood associations have different ideas? And that's going to happen. Just that any parks planners are going to get lots of diverse input, right? You know, you get contradictory ideas. And the planner's responsibility is they use all their expertise and they make the best decision, you know, for a particular piece of land. Look what happened at Battle Creek, you know, the master plan ended up opening up that park to different types of development than the neighborhood association wanted. So anyway, I don't know if you have any questions, but our boundary, the park is between 23rd and 25th, and most of our boundaries.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much.
I was done.
Yeah, for bringing this to our attention. I appreciate it. Do any board members have any questions for Lynn? Okay, I don't see any questions. So thank you. We may have more questions after Ken has an opportunity to fill us in on some other parts of it as well. So thank you very much, Lynn. I appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, Ken, welcome. Ken Samia, I don't know how you pronounce your name, but you will pronounce it in just a minute, I guess. Welcome to SPRAB, and you have 5 minutes. Please provide your first name, your last name, and either your address, ward, or neighborhood association for the record. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Ken Simula. I live at 1810 20th Northeast on the corner of 20th and Madison, and it's part of Ward 1, and I'm vice chair of NEN at this time. I've lived in NEN since...
Ken?
Unmute. All right.
There. Okay.
I apologize. I'm on the corner of 20th and Madison, 1810 20th. And Simula is similar without the R.
Thank you.
I've lived in NEN since 1943, and I started school in the public schools in 1946, where the Safeway store is right now on 12th and Center. That was so-called East School, which was the first high school building built where a graduating class graduated in Salem in the 1890s. It was still operating as a grade school in 1946 until 1950. I went 3 grades there. That is one of the 4 properties that residents of NEN have lost the ability to recreate on. And I'll identify 3 others, but all of these had softball fields, they had playground equipment, they had merry-go-rounds, we called them jungle gyms, climbing bars, so forth. And that was the case of that whole block between 12th and 13th and Marion and Center. And that was a school ground, and we recreated on it. And actually restrooms were available in the building when school was in session. Second place we lost, it was a park at Olinger. It's also owned by the Salem Public Schools, but it had playground equipment. It had picnic tables. It had a softball fields, and it had restrooms in the swimming pool, the dressing room area, and it was open to the public for people primarily in the NEN area. Another one, we've moved, I lived 20 years on Marion Street right near Olinger, and I've been since 1950 a resident, or 1970, excuse me, a resident here closer to the state fairgrounds. We had a park in the corner of the state fairgrounds, south parking lot. It had city restrooms in the end of 21st Street. It had a ballpark, a softball. It had jungle gyms, again, tetherball, picnic areas, and so forth. It was kind of a joint park with the Lansing neighborhood that is also adjacent to that corner of the state fairgrounds. We also had a park, it's still listed on Google Maps in 2022. If you go to Walker Park, it's on the corner of 24th Street and Walker. It's actually on the back corner of the state penitentiary and the state hospital grounds. It had a ball field. It had picnic tables. That one is still unavailable at this time, or at least there's nothing there. And we lost a lot of recreation for the neighborhood, and our neighborhood has been very involved in cooperating with our neighboring neighborhood association. For example, when the long-range plans for the neighborhoods were developed, we sat down jointly with CESNA and went through a long planning process of how our neighborhood and their neighborhood would look to the future. We have a similar working relationship with the Grant Neighborhood Association. We do a cleanup, a neighborhood cleanup, where people can bring trash from their yards, old furniture, whatever. We both recycle and we throw out things, and we cooperate and do that jointly with Grant. On the north side of our NEN neighborhood, we cooperate with, as I said, Lansing Highland in dealing with the state fairgrounds, because it's adjacent to all of our neighborhoods. And so we have no problem working cooperatively with other neighborhoods. The majority of the boundary of NEN is east of 24th Street. And that's why running right through the D Street Park on 24th made a logical suggested place to have dual involvement. From State Street North, the boundary is 25th Street up to that Walker Park area. From Market Street North, it's east of 24th Street toward Evergreen.
Thank you, Ken. Your 5 minutes is up, but thank you for all the
thank you for a chance to explain where we were.
Yeah, no, I appreciate all the history. My goodness. Yeah, does anybody have any questions for Ken? Okay, I don't see any particular questions. I just had a quick question. Isn't comment during the master planning process for parks, isn't that open to public comment for everybody in various neighborhoods? I mean, I thought it was.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Could be if we're notified.
We were okay. Many people were not notified. I think Parks did an exemplary job, but we had large portions of our neighborhood, as I'm getting more and more feedback, that some people were not notified. Parks met with, it was a challenging time, but.
Sure, anyway. Sure. No, I understand. No, thank you for bringing it to our attention. I think I haven't seen the written testimony that I saw that you submitted from your comment in the chat, Lynn. But if you have some suggestions, I'd appreciate, if you could write and just submit some suggestions of how to improve the communication, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, it's communication, but it's also the opportunity for our community to have input. Okay. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thank you both for your comments. I wanted to ask, Patty Tipton, are you, Patty, you're still here. Did you want to provide public comments this evening? Let's see, I'm trying to see. Maybe she is not on any longer. Oh no, there you are. There you are, you're muted. Did you want to provide public comments this evening?
Yes, please. Just for a moment. I'm Patty Tipton, Chair of Lansing Neighborhood. I didn't realize that the State Fairgrounds had a park at one time. That was surprise information. We've been discussing putting a park in there, but if the city is not willing to support a park there, I'd like to know what happened and is there any way we could restore it? A park on the state fairgrounds again?
Uh, What was your question again? I heard just the very end of it.
I just want to know what happened to the State Fairgrounds Park. And if it's possible, Lansing would like to see a park there, because we have a lot of neighbors who can't go to Hawthorne, where we have the two parks, Livingston and Lansing. It's too far away for them to walk, and there's no parking for them really. So having a park at the State Fairgrounds would be a great place for it. So what happened to the park, and how can we resurrect the park for the neighborhood there?
Good question.
Okay, did someone else?
Tony Whitler.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Tony.
Tony Whitler with Parks Planning. I could research that a little further, but as my memory recalls, and maybe Patricia will chime in, there were ball fields at the State Fairgrounds. I know because I played ball on them many years ago, and those were eliminated. Gosh, it's been a number of years. It might have even been 20 years now. I don't recall why the state decided to remove the playgrounds, quite honestly, but I could look into that. But it is state property. It's not city property. So there couldn't be a city park there without some negotiation with the state, of course. But they, and I'm sorry, I don't recall the details, but there was at one time, there were some fields there for ball play that we utilized. I don't know if Becky remembers why. Becky, do you know?
Yeah, there were ball fields out there. I don't remember a playground, but the ball fields were removed, like you said, many years ago. I don't think, while the city played out there, I don't think they were owned by the city. I mean, I think that they were inside the racing track that they had, and the state decided to do some renovations out there. And at that point, we lost access to those fields, but I don't know. We'll have to look back at records to find out. There must have been an agreement with the state at the time to be able to use those fields.
Yeah, I know that they removed the fields because when they built that big pavilion there, which is a loss, because they were pretty good fields. I played on those fields, sometimes better than other times. But yeah, I played on those fields, and they were eliminated as long as we also didn't have horse racing anymore. But because it was on the infield of the horse racing. But when they built the big pavilion there, took that area away, unfortunately.
Thanks for the information, Rick. Appreciate it. Alan Holland.
I think it's important to thank Ken for bringing this information to light. I was unaware of the reduction in park space that has been imposed on the Northeast neighbors. And I think that while it's reasonable to recognize Courtney's cautions about improving or expanding infrastructure that's going to have ongoing maintenance obligations to keep it up, and similarly, if we reduce a neighborhood's access to parks, we're reducing ongoing expenses, but then you're also reducing the opportunities for the neighborhood to be able to recreate. And if it's reduced but not replaced, that neighborhood is lesser, is diminished in some way. I think it's reasonable to consider that. I mean, there's four examples that have been identified clearly as reductions in recreational and park opportunities for a substantial neighborhood. It ought to be considered in some light, so that if we're going to be managing parks and expanding it with a $300 million bond, that maybe we can do something in terms of expanding something so that they can be compensated in a way or replaced. I don't know. I'm just making a conceptual statement here that you're going to reduce a bunch of parks, either replace them or give the people an opportunity to do something with it. Maybe the way is to negotiate with the state to see if we can recover some of the park opportunities that's adjacent or on state land for some park type improvements that are available to the city and local residents. But I'm not sure where to go with all this, but I'm sympathetic to Ken's expression of and identification of the loss. Okay.
Well, thank you, Al. And that's a very an excellent point. You know, when it just disappears, it definitely becomes a reduction in access to those recreational opportunities. And so, yeah, it's really important. I'm not sure exactly what we can do, but I appreciate the information and keeping it in mind in looking at the bond and other options. I just think it helps fill in this big picture about things that could be done. And I certainly wasn't aware of the issue, so I just really appreciate it being brought forward. Okay, does anyone else have any other comments questions before we move on? Okay, seeing none, thank you all for your public comments and for the participation this evening. You're welcome to stick around if you want to. We're going to move on into our SPRAB work plan next. So thank you very much. All right, board members. So as I said, moving forward, the next item is our SPRAB work plan and our committees for 2022. So at the beginning of each year and in accordance with our bylaws, we as a board update a tentative work plan for the following year. And that also includes determining committee assignments and adopting a meeting schedule. So here we are to get that going. So we have a plan for what we're doing for the rest of the year. Tony, could you, present the plan and kind of take the lead?
Yes, of course. Let me share my screen.
Thank you.
And I hope everyone was able to take a little time to review the draft that was in the packet. Okay. And what are we seeing? Are you seeing the work plan, I hope?
Yep.
Okay.
I am, yeah.
Okay, good. So we have this work plan basically hasn't changed much over the years. It's a tool that we have to develop our agendas and make sure we're on track to bring you certain information and reports and allow you opportunity to provide input on certain programs such as CIP and inform you of the budget process. And so what you see here, this is, of course, draft, and I'll just run through it briefly because I know we have a couple of newer members. So we have board development, which we have our officer, our elections, our committee assignments, and this work plan development and strategic planning, if and when we ever get out of our Zoom meetings and can actually meet in person, that would be wonderful. And then what you don't have on the one on the work plan in your packet, I added in here today, actually ethics training. That's something you receive, annually, with the exception of the last couple of years. I think it might've been spotty, but, and you will be receiving in April from Mark Weinstein. So I added that in as a as something that you receive on a consistent basis. And then a budget and capital improvement plan, our ongoing programs and reports. So the report you get a couple times a year from recreation on the summer rec and softball programs, and our volunteer report, the Mission Street Parks Conservancy, as you can see. So these are all reports that you generally get either monthly or quarterly or at some point during the year. And here we have the nonprofit reports. So we have four nonprofits in our parks. We have A.C. Gilbert's, Friends of Deepwood, Riverfront Carousel, and Salem Art Association. And I haven't spoke to these much because they typically we would receive reports from them every year and they would visit the board annually. And that's been a little spotty. And Jen, I think we'll be speaking to this. Jen, I don't know if you'll speak to it now or maybe at the time of your information report, but these annual reports that these facilities or these organizations submit, we're going to the CMO, to the city manager's office, but they're now going to be rerouted back to parks operations. So my hope is this year we'll be able to schedule them to come in. You'll receive an annual report from them and then hear a presentation on what's been going on in their world for the last year. So I don't have anything scheduled currently at that time for that reason. And and then off to the right here, we have the committees that we'll talk about in a moment. So I don't know if you all had any, you know, if this looks okay to you, if you think that there is something we should be bringing to you over, you know, some period of time, once a year, quarterly, you know, any program you'd like to hear about or something added, please, you know, let me know. Now is the time to speak up.
Go ahead, Dylan.
Thanks, Mickey. Tony, my only suggestion was, this looks great, by the way. I appreciate it. I know it's not easy. It's just, it looks like a bunch of check boxes, but trying to organize who's going to speak when, so it's not overwhelming. It's that takes a lot of effort. So I appreciate all that you put into that. And the only one I wanted to add, though, is we talked about the quarterly updates from Gretchen or from somebody from the city on the unsheltered individuals. And it would be wonderful if we could add that in here as a goal so we remember to hopefully include that every quarter.
Agreed.
She is, as you know, quite a very busy person, and she is absolutely not avoiding the board. So we are working on trying to get her in and then see if we can get back into a scheduled, you know, meeting for her or, you know, maybe submitting a report to the board too.
That would be wonderful. I think even written the reports sometimes such as, yeah, when there's all these changes happening, it's helpful for us just to know about some of that as well. So thank you.
Okay, terrific. Are there any other suggestions?
I don't know what form it would take, but I'm very interested in seeing progress made in the development and extension of bicycle connectivity and paths. I have a fantasy of someday having a bike path between Salem and the Kaiser Rapids Park. I don't know that that's ever going to happen, but that's just down the road. What I'm interested in the short term here is knowing what the status and progress is towards any sort of bicycle paths improvement and maintenance so that we can stay on top of that and make any suggestions if we can.
Well, I do know, Patricia may be able to shed more light on this, but, or Jennifer, I do know that the transportation system plan is due for an update, and that is coming very soon. And part of that will be those the family-friendly bicycle routes and pedestrian plans as part of that effort. And you'll have opportunity, of course, along with, you know, the city to participate in learning more about that and providing comment.
Okay.
And as we know more about when that will go forward, we'll let you know too.
So I'm wondering, after the plan goes forward, I mean, perhaps we can have some sort of a bikeway related committee or something. That might be kind of fun.
I'm sure there will be opportunities to participate, but I could not say right now what those ways might be, but there certainly will be ways to participate.
Yeah, good idea. Rick, your hand's up.
Yeah, I would like to have updates on the parks that we have master plans on and what's been done and what needs to be done. The whole master plan thing was very foreign to me when I got on the board. It's been a year now. I can't believe it. I would love to know where we are with the implementation of the master plans that we have already approved.
Okay, that sounds more like maybe a presentation on our park planning process and where we are with the master plans, rather than maybe an ongoing report. But it could be an ongoing report or an annual report or on where we are in that process. But that would also come through our CIP. So every year we do put in our development or phase development as part of master plans into the capital improvement program. And the board is made aware of that annually, of what those projects are. And they are also available on the web, and I can provide that link to you as well. But and we can certainly provide a presentation on our planning efforts going forward.
Yeah, I think a presentation might be a good idea at some point before too long, since we have new members, and it's neat to see the process and see what has been occurring in the last couple of years. So I think that's a really good idea.
If there aren't any other questions, I'll just move over to committees.
Nope, I don't see any questions. Go ahead.
Okay. So you'll see here we have what I have highlighted is the Fisher Road Park Master Plan. I believe we mentioned that last month, I think, too, as well. And Stevens Yoshikai School Park, that is a community park undeveloped, but currently being used as a cricket. There's a cricket pitch there established. And we're looking at moving forward with the Fisher Road Park Master Plan probably late this year in bringing a consultant on board, as well as Stephen Shoshikai. So we're looking for probably two people, someone to come and participate in the meetings, whether Zoom or in person, and then an alternate. And both are welcome to participate, of course, but it's always nice to have a backup in case someone can't attend. So for Fisher Road Park Master Plan, is there anyone that would be interested in participating in that effort? And what that would involve is reporting back to the board then following the meetings, and then you would let the update the board on what happened at the meeting and the participation and what was going forward at that particular time.
Joan has her hand up. Are you volunteering?
Yes, for Fisher Road. I can't find the place where you can mark on the computer where to raise your hand. So sorry about that.
And I can only, I can't see you either, so.
Well, thank you, Joan. Yeah, it is fun. It's great, and it's fun to participate and see members of the neighborhood and get to know more about parks that aren't in my immediate neighborhood, so I really like it. Any other volunteers for the Fisher Road Park? An alternate?
Well, you can always join in. If you aren't speaking up right now, maybe we can talk to Keith too when he comes back.
That's true.
Okay, I have Joan down for Fisher Road, and then we have Stevens Yoshikai School Park. And Stevens Yoshikai is located in the very northeast area of Salem. And Adam Stevens is a middle school, and Yoshikai is an elementary school. And the park property, it's about 13 acres, is right in the middle of those two school properties.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
I I hope everybody's okay. Is anyone interested in participating in the Stephen Joshikai master plan?
And when did you say the process would start, Tony?
I don't have a date, but we probably will look to bringing on a consultant late in the year, which means the public meetings would start early next year.
Okay.
And there, you know, there isn't, you know, it's really a matter of participating, listening to what, listening to the presentation and any comments and the interaction between the participants and the staff, and then reporting that back to the board. It is actually quite a fun process to participate in.
Okay. Well, we still have a little oh, Alan Alexander's hand, you're up. you're on mute.
I usually am. Listen, it's a long ways from where I live, but I think it's important to have board involvement and support for the process. I will volunteer, even though, you know, I honestly don't know much about that part, but maybe I'll learn a little bit in the process.
Okay. Well, and as we go through, you know, when we get to that point as well, we'll, of course, be informing the board on that. And anyone's interested at that time, then they can also join Alan and Joan in participating.
Thank you very much for volunteering, Alan. Appreciate it.
If you need an alternate, I'd be willing to alternate on that. As a former middle school teacher, I might be able to listen to what's going on and offer a suggestion for adjacent recreational possibilities.
Okay, thank you, Alan. I'll put you down as alternate to Stevens. We'll have the two Alans.
Okay. That'll work. Oh, and there's a comment in the chat from Dave that said the Yoshikai is not spelled correctly on the work plan.
Oh, thank you. I'll change that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dave would know.
Is there anything else we need to follow up on here?
There aren't any other questions. I'll make changes to this draft and then send it back out. And the board can approve it at the next meeting. They can approve it now with the changes such as the ethics training. And I can see about, actually, why don't we bring it back in March? Because I may add in there something about the planning presentations, but let me check in on that first and see how we'll roll that out as far as informing the board on the master plan, moving forward on our master plans.
Okay, I think that's a great idea to bring it back at our next meeting. I don't have any suggestions other than at the top of the meeting schedule to change 2020 to 2022.
Oh, that's probably a good idea. Okay. Will do. How could I be living in that year? Okay. All right.
I think we're all still living in 2020. Oh, my goodness.
Not for long, I hope. Okay.
I guess.
Well, thank you, everyone. And I will stop sharing here as soon as I can.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you so much. Well, moving on to our next agenda item, board member updates. Do any members have things they would, any updates from other meetings or anything they'd like to share? Well, I attended the Bailey Ridge Master Park Plan meeting on January 26th. There was an excellent presentation and the great explanations on the whole planning process and funding, and there were 22 participants at the meeting. I haven't been to Bailey Ridge Park. It's 5.5 acres. There was a good discussion about the chamber swale and the stream channel restoration, opportunities for trail connections to Illahee, and folks wanted to get trees planted in the wetland areas and still preserve the other natural areas. I guess there's a big, really dense fir grove there. And so again, a lot of the participants at the meeting wanted to preserve as many natural areas as possible. I'm looking forward to the next meeting. Okay, well, let's move on to the next agenda item then, our information reports. So the first one is the Mission Street Park Conservancy minutes.
Those are not available as yet. They haven't had a chance to approve them.
Okay.
They'll come back to the board next month.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, the urban forestry update. Is Mylan here? Yay, Mylan. That's, as usual, great update. Anything you'd like to share with the board?
No, nothing besides the fact that I just put some information on there about, the heritage trees and nothing's been done since it's, with SPRAB. So I thought maybe the next meeting I would give a presentation on sort of the history of the heritage tree program and maybe how SPRAB could get involved in improving or, taking the next step to send those to city council if necessary.
Okay. Well, I think that's a really good suggestion. Does anyone have any questions for Mylan?
I have one.
Okay.
Being new, I don't know the history on the history tree, the heritage trees, other than I forgot his name, the history heritage tree dynamo that founded so many of them. His name escapes me. I want to know if there's somebody continuing to identify heritage trees and if there's been acknowledgement of Maynard's contributions.
That's probably something I can share with you more next month when I'm going to give a presentation on it. So,
thank you.
We're doing a little bit of updating on our GIS map to the locations, and we did an update after the ice storm to see if any of the trees were damaged from the ice storm. So, I think since 2011 or 2017, I can't remember, but only, one tree in the last 15 or so years has been added to the list. So it'd be nice to sort of do an update on that and maybe share it on the city website and maybe spend a little more energy in trying to get a few more trees around town to the heritage status.
Maynard Drossin was who I was referring to. He was such a monument and was so committed in identifying these trees. Has he ever received any recognition for that work?
Not that I'm aware of. Woody might have some more information on that.
There's an Oregon white oak tree planted on the state forestry grounds and planted in his name.
Does it have a sign or anything hanging on it?
I believe it's a placard on the ground in front of it.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's something. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the presentation and learning more about it because I know it's one of those things that we are tasked with approving those heritage tree applications. And I don't even know what the process is. So thank you for bringing it up, Mylan.
Yeah, no problem. I look forward to learning more about it along this process as well because I haven't really had much of a chance since I've been here to spend much time towards it. So.
Okay, so moving on, the Parks and Natural Resources Planning update. Let's see, Patricia, hi.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I don't have any other additional updates to it.
I think we should all just recognize that the last bullet was a little bit of a surprise. Very sad to see that you were retiring, Patricia, but want to just acknowledge how much work you've done and how great it's been to have you at all the SPRAB meetings and also as the representative on the Climate Action Task Force. I know that was a lot of work too on top of all of the SPRAB and your normal day job. So appreciate you shepherding all that through and just helping us through all the parks stuff over the last few years.
Thank you, Dylan. I'll be at the March meeting.
Great. I hope so. Yeah, you're such a valuable resource and so knowledgeable and great to work with. We're really going to miss you. I'm glad you're going to be here in March. I do have a question about tree canopy. In 2019, we set our tree canopy goal as 24%, and then in 2020, we set the new goal of 28%. In the tree report, it says that the citywide statistical analysis, looking at the damage from the ice storm, et cetera, showed a 17.6 canopy loss across the city. So I guess my question is, how does this relate to our current tree canopy goal of 28%? Does that mean that we're back to, what do I want to say? We're back down to like a 19.8% existing tree canopy?
Well, I don't think it's quite that simple. I mean, we did lose canopy for sure during the ice storm. But as we've discovered, it depends a lot on the technology that you're using to do the analysis. So I'm not sure that it's directly an apples to oranges kind of calculation. I think it's just going to have to have a more thorough analysis when it comes around to do the whole city canopy analysis again, which is not for several years. But I know Mylan, you know, now that we have a drone program in the city, we're getting better information all the time by using kind of that kind of technology. So definitely we are going to need to redouble our efforts and try to get more trees on private property as well, which is one of the main tasks that we've been looking at. I know Mylan's working very hard to replace trees and to plant more street trees. And so we're really going to have to try to focus on other large property owners, such as the school district or the state, as well as private property owners, to increase our canopy and get back to where we were, if not get closer to our goal.
Okay, thank you for that. And I saw the note also about the pilot project from February 5th for planting trees in private yards. I actually assisted that day and we ended up planting actually about 30 trees, but you're right, there were only four or five at individual homes, but the owners were really ecstatic to see trees going in their yards. So hopefully it's just it's education and it's more get to know about it. In fact, there were folks in the neighborhood walking by that said, "What are you doing, you know, planting trees in a person's yard?" And they wanted to know information. So Friends of Trees was handing out the information as to where they could go to sign up. So hopefully it was a good kickoff. It's still.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was a little disappointing, but you know, we sent out like 2,500 mailers, you know, to the whole NOLA neighborhood. So that was a little disappointing return there, but yeah, lesson learned. We're going to redouble it on and make it more Salem specific. Cause we kind of relied on Friends of Trees flyers to go out, and maybe that we need to like customize them for Salem more next year.
Okay. Well, thank you, Patricia. And thanks for the report. Okay, the next is the parks operations update. Jennifer, anything you'd like to add?
I don't have any new information from with regard to the report itself. I'll just circle back around to when Tony was talking about the work plan and the nonprofit reports. So those, as she mentioned, those were previously in the CMO's office. Those have now been shifted, those contracts under me, and to manage those. And so I'm just developing that relationship with those contract holders. And so I will reach out to them about providing an annual report and doing that, and so that they'll have get that back on track on providing that information to SPRAB. So just to let you know that that's a new process and a new relationship for us in that capacity, and we'll get it back on track for SPRAB to provide those annual reports. But aside from that, I don't have anything new to add from the informational report that I provided.
Okay, does anyone have any questions for Jennifer? Seeing none, let's move down to Becky and Recreation Services Updates. What's going on?
Hi. Yeah, I don't have anything necessarily new other than what I put in the update there, the notes. I did, just in case people aren't able to see, I did put a update on the state fairgrounds ball fields in the chat. Looks like, according to Billy, who oversees softball, it looks like there was an agreement and that ended in 1999, he thinks, because the state wanted to build the pavilion that's out there. So other than that, I don't have anything too new to add, unless there's some questions.
Okay, I'm not seeing any questions. So thanks for the great report, Becky. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is new business. One thing I wanted to bring up in regards to new business was that we, after our last meeting, we were planning on approving letters of support to be sent to SCATS regarding the two potential grant applications, one for the Pringle Creek Path and the other one for the Orchard Heights Park access. And since then, those two projects have been removed from the list for consideration. And the email that Julie Warnicki sent out to us was included in our packets for tonight's meeting. But I asked Tony what we should do about it in regards to what we do. So I wanted to ask all of you if you're in agreement that no letters will need to go forward. I don't need a motion or anything. I just wanted, I don't know, thumbs up or an eye or something or other. So is it okay if we move forward without sending a letter? Okay, I see those thumbs. Yep, looks pretty unanimous. Thank you, board. Okay, so any other items on new business? Mylan did mention the heritage tree presentation. Is there anything else we need to include as new business? I'm not seeing any hands. Nope, we might as well just move forward then. So our next meeting will be on March 10th at 5:30 p.m. And if nobody has any other comments or hands or anything, I don't see anything, then this meeting stands adjourned until March. And the time is 7:15. Have a good rest of your evening, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Live stream has stopped.